perish. They've not kept the soul from hell or the body from the grave. But the voice of Jesus gives life. Give us the eternal bread. Give us the water that will thirst no more. Father, quiet in our lives, O God. Remember the days of our youth, Lord. Remember your plans and your promises of old for the sake of Jesus. Help us to hear something different in the name of Jesus. I pray we will not interpret every word we hear strictly in the light of our peculiar experiences. Help us to interpret it, Lord, as a word from God in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for another week and bless him for bringing us again. I think it was 2 weeks ago that we touched on some very basic things that we ought to know as Christians. We touched on the need for humility, you know, that we should humble our hearts as Christians. We should practice it. It does not come naturally. As many of us as are willing to be honest, because men do not see your heart. Many things, even our best friends, our mothers and fathers at times, many times, even our wives do not know the fullness of what goes on in our hearts. But any of us here that has been touched by the Spirit of God knows that God knows. Even the things you don't know about you, God does. And just given the things we know about ourselves, many of us will admit that there's a need for improvement. And we began to look 2 weeks ago at all the passages that challenge us to that instinct that is not innate, that is not natural to us as people. Some people want to be humble, but just what we go through, this rat race, this survivor of the fittest, this culture that teaches assertiveness, that teaches all of the, it's almost as if all the instincts that you need to prosper in the kingdom are contrary to the instinct that you need to prosper in the world that God has created you to live in. At work, they say, speak out, be the loudest voice, be assertive, be, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, be slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So you just see, things that the Spirit calls us to, it says, the world says, which means don't take rubbish from anyone because they will take advantage of you. Whereas the Bible says, look, be patient, be long-suffering. So there are always contradictory things. And at times, many of us who desire to be like Jesus, we have to admit that we really can't act the way that Jesus acts. So 2 weeks ago, we challenged ourselves that we should recognize this. We should confess this in prayer. We should still aspire to the ethics, to the morals that the Bible teaches us, right? The fact that we're not there, the fact that we find ourselves falling short of this does not mean we should give up, because there's grace sufficient. And as we desire this, as we pray it with our prayer, the Lord who looks at the heart and knows what the aspiration is, he will build us up. And then the Bible says we look as though through a glass, behold through a glass, the glory of the Lord, and we are transformed in that same image from glory unto glory. Ideally, we should not stop looking. We should not, as a church, settle for the pragmatic. Let's always aspire for the spiritual ideal, and we'll see ourselves growing in the Lord. And last week, that was 2 weeks ago, last week, we also talked on something. Because last week, everybody's mind was on Houston and the flooding. Now it's Florida. And we learned something very simple last week. We said, Christians, when you hear, when you follow CNN, what do you see? What the world sees is the destruction. What the world sees is the kindest, the most empathetic response in the world is pity. You know, at times it's dread, right? In other people's mystery, We there's something in our souls that responds, right? Now, how could this be happening? And then there are questions. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? If there's a good God, why is this happening? And we're challenging ourselves that if this is all you see, well, you've only seen as far as the rest of the world sees. But as Christians, we see something different. We see the same thing that Christ saw when he was informed of a natural disaster, that behold, the tower fell upon many and they died. That was, I don't know if it was an act of terrorism, but it was certainly a natural disaster. And the Lord did not respond just in emotion. He responded eternally. He said, look at these things. Let it teach you how temporary life is, how uncertain. Some of us Christians think that by prayer, at Hope in New Covenant Church, we have known that to be different if other churches have not learned it. Because no matter how spiritual you are as a church, you still bury members. Prayer somehow does not preclude all of these sufferings. Let's be very honest. We don't talk about them, right? But we have learned that as the Lord hears our prayers, He stevens our back. He helps us to carry on. But prayer does not put you on the mountaintop all the time. Those valleys, you still pass through them. So eternally, what is constant in our lives are the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ to build up our faith, to let our anchor be on things eternal. When we see His thing, we should remember Noah. We should remember what it teaches me is how easy it is to bring to pass, for God to bring to pass what the Bible already said He did. If for a week of storm, the whole of Houston was flooded for 40 days, when all the borders of the heavens and the earth were thrown open, then certainly it's true that the whole world was flooded. If that storm had continued, the whole world, the whole of the U.S. would have been flooding. See, the hurricane coming from the south and the dread and everything, it tells me, blessed be your name, O Lord, indeed what you have written. There's that song that says, you are God, everything written about you is great and true. So we said we should learn to look at the Bible with different set of eyes. What people see and seek evidence, we should see them as validation of the glory of the Most High God, so that our hearts will forever be on eternity. Now, I want to speak today about something equally basic in Christianity. And we would normally not title a message, but if it helps memory, I just want to title the message today, In the Name of Jesus. Because I see another thing that needs to be addressed. I see how in the kingdom of God, the name of the King of the kingdom is quickly not being emphasized anymore. We remember a Christian culture barely 2-3 decades ago that every song, every activity, every program was about Christ. But somehow today we're able to worship, do programs, do everything, and people can come out of that and they're not thinking about Jesus. They're thinking about God. But remember, those who went into the mosque on Friday came out thinking about God as well. So also are the many other religions in the world. They're all about God. But the question has never been, is there God? I mean, except for the New Age and the wise who are actually blind, who think they see, as the Bible says. The question has always been, which God? And as I see what the Lord, and as we're praying for revival, and are praying, and we're measuring the temperature of the church, what I see missing is the worship, the knowledge, obedience, the prominence of the man Jesus. They used to call us the Jesus people. I don't think people call us much the Jesus people anymore. I speak generally as Christians. They call us religious people. They call us Christians. But I think we need to go back to a time when we are called the Jesus people. And I wonder in the church, Lord, why is there no more power? Why is there no more glory? I'm sorry. Someone said, because of sin. Well, but, you know, sin has never prevented God from doing His work. There was sin in the world when Jesus walked in Palestine and performed miracle. Brethren, it's not because God does not do miracle because of your righteousness. And He does not prevent it because of your sin. The Lord loved the world while we were yet sinners. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. So I used to think it was because of sin again. Until I began to see that all of our righteousness do not impress God. You know, and I think we go to get there quickly in the course of this sermon. See, there's no more miracle. There's no more power. There's no more potency because we have removed the Lamb from the throne. The power of the church, the rock upon which He builds His church. He said, this rock, whoever He falls upon shall be crushed, is Jesus. You know, oftentimes, we're doing evangelism or encouraging a colleague at work, and I've heard it before. People say, I wonder what I can tell him. It used to be very easy. It used to be just introducing the man Jesus. And I read through, as I've been, I think there's a house fellowship group, Brother Peter is going through now the book of Acts. What you will notice is the preeminence of Jesus Christ, the perfect representation of Christ. We have great worship services, great sermons. We have methods, how to be successful, how to read your Bible, how to complete it. We have replaced that worship, that simple thing that used to be the joy, the freedom, the liberty of all saints. We've replaced it with the knowledge of man. Good things, well-intended, but the glory departed. When the Ark of Covenant was removed from Israel, the priest said, "Oh, Ichabod, for the glory has departed from Israel." As we remove the Lord Jesus, we remove the way, and we're trying to get to the Father. We remove the truth, but we're still trying to get to the Father, and we're wondering why it's so difficult. Let's open our Bibles really quickly to the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And I just want us to read shortly. I will exhort you, and by the grace of God, we will close this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. I pray that this sermon, this message, this week you will use it. I pray that it will make sense. I pray that it will answer questions in some hearts this morning. It's very practical. The last few weeks, we've been learning about to-dos. Simple, practical things as Christians. Those of you who were born again in the glory days of Jesus. Oh, in the glory days of the church, right? It's always the glory day of Jesus. We can't remove his glory. In the glory days of the church, we remember. There'll be something in your heart as the Lord speaks this morning that you go, that is true. You go, yes, our songs were slightly different then. Our reason for fellowship, even the reason for your loyalty, was different. It was just the man, Jesus. What brought you to church was not your problem. Many people, in spite of their problems, they had problems in the church, they had solutions in the church, but who they were never changed. They were Jesus people. They killed them in the early days of the church. They stoned them. They confiscated their property. But one thing they could never take from them was the love of the Lord. I pray that we'll be restored back and introduced afresh to the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the whole world. This is Christianity. It's about a man whose name is Jesus. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatever you do, whether it's in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That passage has, is that this one now? Okay, good. Whatever you do, even merely speaking, whether you type on the computer, whether you're a nurse, if you carry a stethoscope or whatever they call that thing that they put on the heart, if that's what you do, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're an accountant, I think they all qualify under whatever. If Paul were to write this out in detail, I think it would take another volume called the Bible to list everything he meant. So he summarized it under, if you're a Christian, or whatever you do, then he said, whether it's in word, we are not allowed to speak for ourselves. I've always said in this church, the joy of my heart personally is the day when I'm listening to conversations after church and the elaborations of the glory of the Lord. When I'm listening to your kindness, the Red Cross does a lot of good deed, but the Red Cross is not the church because it's not done in the name of the Lord. Country clubs do a lot of charity work. So essentially, this passage says, don't turn the church into a nice goody two foot two good. What's it called? Goody three shoes, yeah. No. It says don't. When you do that, when we turn, let's remember that fundamentally we are people called to serve Jesus. You have a master, his name is Jesus. It's not every good deed that is a Christian deed. A Christian deed is the good deed that is done in the name of Jesus. Let's always remember in our service why we serve and who we serve. That is what is missing in Christianity. So what's happening is even the good works, the glory for them is going to men rather than to God. That's why you see that churches and Christian theologians and Christian ministry are being cited rather than Jesus Christ. I am the Lord. I will not give my glory to anyone. Whatever you do, you are not allowed to make a good decision. You are allowed to make an inspired decision. You are not allowed to just give back. You see, we give back and we give thanks. And the Lord looks at us. And he knows that we are consuming those children. We have just done something not in the name of Jesus. We see our children as our own. But blessed is the saint who sees the child as a disciple that he or she is grooming for Jesus. That is the one that gives glory to God. We see our jobs as that's why most of our jobs do not serve the purpose of God. They're selfish. We ask the Lord for them. We acknowledge and thank him, but we possess the jobs. But we're supposed to see them as tools for Christ. All the saints that walked with the Lord knew this. They were neither high, neither were they low. Their trials and their triumphs were for the glory of the Lord. They were never disappointed because they had everything in its proper context. Whatever you do, whether in word, I've spoken a lot of words that were just wildly speaking in my life. And when I was meditating on this, I said, Lord, help me to be able to speak for you. And many of those words I reckon have been helpful. Many of those words have been encouraging. Many of those words are useful. They are informative. But anytime someone walks away from us and they think that they've been in a good fellowship, we've not done enough. I hope that every time it used to be that when you walked into Christian fellowships, you felt you had been in the presence of the Lord. Anytime we give a message and people think they have learned something, it's not good enough. They must always think they have learned about Jesus. They have learned what Christ would do. We are, the Bible says, he that speaks must speak as what? A smart man? Must speak as a brilliant man? Must speak as an oracle. And an oracle of God. We must be very conscious that we are representing adequately Jesus Christ in everything we do. We must be very conscious that we are representing him explicitly in everything we do. That's when the ridicule will come. That's when you'll be called names. But that is why God has created us. And I think this is a mindset that we must continually develop within the body today. As we develop it, our lives will become full. Some of the burdens we carry will be rolled away because now we represent him and he will carry the burden himself. Some of the things you will have to say will be ridiculous to you, but because of him who sent you, you will go ahead and say it exactly the way he wants you to say it. It's also going to be very offensive. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, there's been too many church committees, too many spiritual gatherings where we have come out with fantastic programs and we wonder why those programs have not had eternal effect. The Lord said to his disciples well after he ascended, he did not say, okay, now it's time to preach. I've trained you for 3 years. Go, go, go. He said, wait. You'll be endued with power from above when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be what? my witnesses. So at the end of the sojourn of the apostles, did we end up with the Church of Peter? The evangelical outreach of the man of God, Stephen? Or the theological college of Paul? Paul Theological College in Tarsus? Have you ever wondered why? Why are these personalities so sub? Even to today, when you think about Peter, what do you think about? What? Jesus. When you think about Paul, as smart, as brilliant, what do you think about? About Jesus Christ. Moses tried it at the water of Meribah. You remember the story? Moses, who was the meekest of all men, came to a point in his life that he had been in ministry so long. And the Lord told him something, and by that time he was used to hearing the voice of the Lord. And that's what happens to many of our ministers. You get used to hearing God. Very soon you conflate God with yourself. You stop speaking in the name of the Lord. You start speaking in your own name. That's what's happening. Then the glory departs. Moses said, "You people, shall I now bring water from this rock?" I can never forget that passage when I read it and the Lord interpreted it in my heart. The same Moses that will say, "Lord, do not destroy them." You know, they will say he was speaking in the name of the Lord once. Say, "If you destroy them, Lord, don't you think that the whole world will say that you brought them out just to destroy them? No, please, for your own name's sake, don't destroy these people." He now came to a point when he was so mad. He had become Moses the aged. He said, "Shall I now?" And the Lord said, "Who and who? Shall you bring water from the rock? My gifts and callings are without repentance. For the sake of my people, water will come back from that rock." And he smashed the rock in his anger, and water came out, and the people drank. But it wasn't about the people drinking. And that's what we lose sight of. When you sing, it's not about the people getting blessed. The blessings of the people cannot be restrained. The Bible says, "I've heard the voice of my people." When he was speaking with Moses initially, "it has reached out to me, and now I have come to deliver them." That voice had been reaching out for about 40 years, and God deliberately did nothing. He does what he does in his own time. As of the time when Moses left, he felt that there was no salvation in Israel for the Israelites again. Because he had tried it in his power, it did not work. But in due time, he said, "Not as though I have not heard, I have heard." Behold, when that incident was reported again, he gave a revelation to Moses that, "I have already said that my people will be in captivity for 400 and so years. Now the time has come." So don't worry about the salvation of God's people. Nothing you do can affect it. Here's what you should measure: your faithfulness. The Lord is the owner of the master plan. You are going to do your bit. Make sure you do it in Jesus' name. Make sure the brick you are putting together in your household, at your job, just add to it. He said, "We are all living stones, and we are being put together for one spiritual house." The architect of this house is Jesus, and whose designer is the Lord. A house that's not made by human hands. Your job is to speak for him. When you show kindness and give in the name of Jesus. Make sure, like we're doing Mercy Barrel, it's proper that everybody in Guyana knows that this gift is not some kind church in Maryland. We are doing it for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Because remember, there are lots of people to feed in the world. God has just allowed us to be cognizant of that particular suffering, and we're taking care of it. May the Lord receive glory for everything we do. Let's make certain that people hear the name of Christ. The Bible says, "Be in readiness to tell the reason that is in the reason for the hope that is in you." Christ in me, the hope of glory. He has sent us as ambassadors. There are many times where we muffle the voice of the Lamb. Let it speak through you. When you give a dollar, say, "God bless you." When they say, "Wow, see the wonderful miracle, Benny Hinn has done it," Don't let it slide. I remember in those times, the apostles, they would take their garment and rent it. Why? I mean, they needed to have just said, no, glory be to God, glory be to God. They rent it because they realized that it's so important. The public relations, we are public relation agents for a man, Jesus, to make his name known in all the earth. Don't let any opportunity go without attaching the name of Jesus Christ to it. So at our beautiful gate, when they made Peter and John and James, so who were those? At the gate, beautiful in Jerusalem, when they healed that layman. And people wondered, oh, wow, some miracle workers in Israel. They said, why are you gawking at us as though by our own name we had made this man whole? And they seized the opportunity to preach the gospel. That not in my name. Don't look at me. Someone was a glory be to God, glory be to God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. When I was in Japan, I preached in a church. There were 5,000 people in that church. And as I spoke, there was a man, woman sitting in front. She had the spirit of divinity. No. What's the bad one? Divinity is good, right? No, it's the bad. It's bad now. Divination. Which one is divinity? Celestial power. Okay. And the Lord told me, and I commanded the spirit, in the name of Jesus, come out. But there were about four eyes before the name of Jesus. So when people leave the service, they remember he commanded the spirit. We just stamp the name of Jesus Christ. We must make conscious effort to promote Christ. That's our job, to lift him up. If I be lifted up, then I will draw men unto me. That's the example of scriptures. When he was born, as we close, an angel appeared to his mother, said, thou art blessed amidst women. Blessed are you. Glory be to God from on high on earth, peace and goodwill unto men. Said you will conceive and be of child. His name shall be called Jesus. And what? He will be great in all the earth. And he will inherit the throne of his father David forever. That is the evangel. That is the good news. And as those shepherds stood on the hill on that day, they saw a congregation of angels praising the Lord, singing glory be to God on high. Glory be to God on high. He said, for in Jerusalem is born a child. This child will be powerful and strong. He will be called the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And of his dominion, there will be no end. And they left their sheep and they went to see. Both Mary and the shepherds, the Bible reported in the book of Luke chapter 1 and 2, that they wondered what manner of thing this was. I hope you have not stopped wondering what manner of man Jesus is. I hope we have not become so familiar with scriptures that we've lost the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have, you need to ask the Lord to write the name of Christ upon you again. The Bible says, behold, he has given to him a name which is above every other name. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee, be those kneels, kingdoms and dominions or powers, be they presidents and governors, I've seen ministers. I have a word upon my lips that I dare not use in church. When I see ministers in the hall of power, deferring to secular power and compromising their Lord and their Master, the name, the majesty, the brand they represent. Can you imagine your company sends you somewhere and you totally let the brand of the company that you are speaking to overshadow the brand? If my company sent me, I'm not allowed to speak in my own name. One way or the other, I must make sure that the theories I'm talking about, they are the very principles and theories of, because they did not send me in my own name. So when I see the faces of the church, the leaders today, compromising, dividing the word of God as though it's their own word, negotiating and making compromises. And we must not do that today as well. Within our congregation, think, what will the Lord say? Don't merely think, what does this person want to hear? Don't even think, what can I do so I don't hurt this person? You see, the Lord is not worried about temporary fixes. Truth sets free. Speak for the Lord. Those who speak for him are ostracized, but it is well. And not only that, on the long run, they serve the greater good. Because this generation will pass, but the word of God will remain the same. When we die, when we are done, our goal as Christians is that we will have an epitaph that says, "This is a servant of Jesus Christ." I pray they will remember us for Jesus. I pray the world will not merely remember you because you are brilliant. I pray that the world will not really remember you because you are a good daughter. There are many good daughters that will go to hell. The grave is filled with fantastic husbands. And when the church now reduces the goal of the church to moral goals and values and virtues, and that's our highest aspiration, we do a disservice to Christ. Because when the Lord looked around in Jerusalem that day, he saw there were many wonders. There were people already taking care of the poor in Jerusalem. Before Christ came, there was Joseph, who was described as the righteous man. Yet all he saw were sinners. All he saw were people who desperately needed the word of life, who needed to come to him. And that was what he declared. So I pray that when we look around, we will always see the world through the eyes of the Lord Jesus. I pray we will see our songs, our service in church. I pray that we will see the upbringing of our children and our jobs, our presence in America, our papers and lack thereof. I pray that we'll be able to see all in the light of the glory of the Lord. I pray let us strive that when we speak, we'll speak as Christians. Every time we have a conversation, and even when we're angry, let's be angry as Christians. Remember, Jesus was angry. You know? Why was he angry? What gets you mad? It's possible. What got him mad? He entered into church and they were selling. And he was angry. Anger in of itself. In fact, Egba, which is Cain, is not against the scriptures. But there's a way to Cain in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you do. I want to say something that will shock you. When you sin, sin like a Christian. Yeah, I said it will shock you, right? Whether you like it or not, it's just that we don't admit it. You can't finish this week without sinning. It's just that our hearts are too dull to admit it. We don't see it anymore. If God were to outline to us the sins we've committed this week, you will not be comfortable where you're sitting. But here's how to sin like a Christian. Remember, those of you who got born again in the 70s and 80s and 90s, or even now, remember how when you sinned, how did your heart feel? Did you just shrug it off? People said, "You have good grades. You're looking well. You have money in your account. Why are you sad?" They couldn't understand. Say, "I'm not straight with my Lord. I'm not straight with my Lord. I'm not happy." And then you went alone. They look around. They say, "There's nothing wrong with you. Why are you sad?" Said, "I must get straight with my Lord." The Bible says that one sinner that repents, the heavens rejoice more than many righteous that have nothing to repent about. Let us pray. As a church, as a people, as parents, in parenting, professionally, all we do, Father, help us to do it to your glory. These things, they are not easy to see. Thank you for opening our eyes to see them, but they are even more difficult to do. Give us courage, Lord. Give us courage to represent you, the privilege, not just in word, but indeed as well, in all we do. I pray, Lord, our church, when they leave, people will not just say that we're a good church. I pray that the testimony will be we're a powerful church. I pray, God, that the testimony will be that I met a man there, and that man was not just one of us, by the man Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Shall we rise as we take our hymn?